Morning, everybody. Some people think that the most spiritual people never struggle with doubt or temptation, and that they always feel close to God. Well, what about Mother Teresa? Many people called her a living saint. In 1942, Mother Teresa made a vow not to refuse Jesus anything. And starting in 1946, she experienced several mystical encounters with Jesus, whom she called the Voice, asking her to serve the poorest of the poor. And she spent her life doing that. But she also experienced what she called darkness, her term for feeling of loneliness and abandonment. And after she died, they found a letter in which she said, "I came to India with the desire to love Jesus as he has never been loved before." Yet no sooner did she start her work than she began to feel an absence of Jesus, a state that lasted all the way until her death. She actually lived most of her life in a kind of spiritual wilderness. So in today's lesson, we're considering the wilderness experience and how God can use it to help us grow. So let's read it. And even though we've normally been using the God's Word version, today I'm going back to New International. So from Luke chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. And the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." And Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor. It's been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will all be yours." And Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." And the devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." And when the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. Now, as an entire church community, we are working on reading through most of the New Testament in the next year, starting in Luke. We're not going to do the other three Gospels, but other than that, we'll do the whole New Testament. And this passage was part of the reading for this week. How many of you did the reading this week? Okay, that's a lot of you. Now, if you missed last week, we have reading guides that break it out for every week, what you're supposed to be reading, and also devotional guides that you can use to kind of get more out of your reading available at the Welcome Center. So you can pick one of those up, and you can catch up. You're only behind by four chapters. And every Sunday, then, we're going to preach out of the four chapters that you've just read. And what we want to do is not only to preach from the passage, but also show you how to read the passage well, and how to get the most out of it using various tools. And today, our tools can be found in the form of five questions that you should ask as you're reading the Bible. So let's work our way through the questions. The first question is simply, what came right before this passage? A lot of times, the context, the previous story, the what happened just before can have a big impact on the meaning of what you're reading. So it's always good to kind of take a look back and see, like, what happened right before this that maybe is affecting what's happening right here. And if we look back in this passage, what happened right before this story about the wilderness was the baptism of Jesus. And what happened at the baptism of Jesus was the heavens opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him, and the voice of God came audibly from heaven saying, "You are my Son whom I love, and with you I'm well pleased." So there was this incredible experience, this incredible spiritual high, and God affirms to him audibly in front of John the Baptist and a whole bunch of other people, you are my son. You're the son of God. An amazing thing. And so what happens next? In the wilderness, the devil directly challenges those words from God and tries to pervert them. So two of the temptations begin with the words, if you're the son of God. Isn't he clever? A little, you know, he's sort of like, just that, ask that question, if, you know, it's sort of planting a little doubt. Are you really, did what you hear really happen? And you know what? That's exactly what happens to a lot of us in our journey with God. We have a breakthrough. We have a spiritual experience. Maybe we hear a call from God. We get a new revelation of God's love for us. And you know what happens next? The evil one tries to take it away. He tries to rob us. He tries to cast doubt on what's happened. Or he tries to get us to misuse it or misunderstand it. He tries to twist it into something else. And it's easy to think, when the devil's working on you, maybe I was wrong about what I thought I heard from God. Maybe God hasn't really forgiven me. But let me tell you something really important. Never doubt in the darkness what you've seen in the light. Got that? Never, never, never doubt in the darkness what you've seen in the light. The devil will try to steal it from you, but don't let it work. Yeah? And he did it to Jesus. Jesus didn't let it work. So that's the first thing. Second thing is, ask yourself the question, what's surprising? You know, look for what's surprising in the passage, because there are often valuable lessons in the things that are unexpected, the things that don't go the way that you would think they would go. You know, and so you kind of have to pay attention to those things. And the surprising thing here is this. Right after Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit, it says the Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Now, that's surprising. It wasn't the devil who led him to the wilderness. It was the Spirit. It was the Spirit of God who led him into the wilderness. And in the wilderness, Jesus no longer heard the voice of God from heaven. The only voice he heard in the wilderness was the voice of the devil. And so he had to rely on what he'd heard from God before and what he knew in the scriptures. That's all he had. And that's the surprising thing. Sometimes the Spirit leads us into the wilderness. Did you know that? When we're in the wilderness, sometimes we can't hear God. Sometimes we can't feel God. Sometimes our spiritual life feels really dry. In the wilderness, there are wild animals. Doubt and fear and desperation and want and despair. In the wilderness, our soul feels so dry and parched and hungry. And yet, the wilderness is somehow the work of God just as much as the glory when the heavens are opened and the Spirit comes down and we hear the voice of God audibly. And what is that work that God is doing in the wilderness? That we should be tested. In the wilderness, the issue is, will you keep following God and worshiping him even when your prayers are not answered and even when you can't feel God and even when your life is dry and hard? Will you continue to trust him then? Will you hold on to God's word in the scriptures when life gets hard? That's the test. You know, I've had my turns in the wilderness. I have. And you know, some of those times, it was like all of a sudden, I couldn't hear God. I heard God before, and then now I can't hear God. And I had to choose to obey God without any extra help or any extra encouragement. Now, I think I passed because eventually the wilderness experience kind of passed and I moved on to a different stage. Most of us don't spend our entire lives in the wilderness the way Mother Teresa did, but nearly all of us have at least some wilderness experiences. If God loves you, if he cares about you, at some point, the Spirit will lead you into the wilderness to be tested and to grow. Yeah. God wants us to grow in faith. That's a big deal for him. And the wilderness is part of that. Okay, so number three, take a look at the time frame. Sometimes it helps to notice the time frame of events in the Bible. It can tell us whether it's a one-time event or whether it's more of a process. Sometimes it can tell us some other things, whether it has a special extra meaning. Here we see that Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days. Now, so that kind of gives you the idea, like, he wasn't just like tempted one day and then he was good. It was like the devil was tempting him and working on him for 40 days. There's this whole process of it going on. But also, in the 40, when you see 40 in the Bible, that's like almost always symbolical. That's like an important biblical number, the number 40. The number 40 is mentioned in the Bible 146 times. Okay, so that's like a big deal. 40, okay? Why is 40 important? Well, interestingly, during Moses' life, he lived 40 years in Egypt and then 40 years in the desert before God selected him to spend 40 years setting his people free and wandering in the wilderness. How about that? Moses was also on Mount Sinai for 40 days and nights on two separate occasions receiving God's laws. 40 days and nights. He sent spies for 40 days to investigate the promised land. And then, because they wouldn't go into the promised land, the people of Israel wandered in the desert for 40 years because they wouldn't trust and obey God. So, like, 40 is a big deal. The number 40 symbolizes really a kind of a period of testing, of trial, probation. So when you see 40 in the Bible, like, that should like bring up to you like, okay, this is a testing time. This is preparation time. This is, you know, trial time. So Jesus is going through his own time of testing. But unlike the people of Israel previously who failed their test, he comes through it victorious and strong in faith. So it's a real victory in the wilderness. Where the others had failed, the Messiah did not fail when his time of testing came. So the 40 days is kind of like, you know, making a point not just about what happened to Jesus, but that what happened to Jesus in contrast to what happened with the people of Israel before, that he succeeded where they failed. All right, number four, ask yourself the question, what are the problems, what are the answers? Like, does this passage, like, pose some problems? And then what answers does it give to those problems, if any? So it helps to ask that. And in this case, there are some problems. Three temptations. Three temptations, which are a kind of problem. So let's consider those temptations and what they're all about. And then the answers given by Jesus. The temptations, of course, the devil starts. If you're the Son of God, tell the stone to become bread. Now, what's the problem with that, you might say? I mean, like, what would it hurt? Jesus is hungry. There's plenty of rocks around. Why not turn a stone into bread and eat it? What's the problem? Well, the problem is that it's really the temptation to meet your own needs selfishly. It's about using power for yourself. The power that Jesus had received and his status as the Son of God was not meant to be used that way. That wasn't what it was about. That power was meant to be used in self-sacrificial service to other people, not to meet his own needs. Now, you can be sure it was a real temptation. Jesus was really hungry. Okay? You know, the devil wouldn't choose it if he didn't think he had a chance of it working. And Jesus had the power to do it, but he did not. Why? Because it would have meant that he had given way to selfishness, to using his position to meet his own needs. Now, when we're in the wilderness, we all feel needy. I mean, that's the thing about being in the wilderness. Your needs are heightened. You feel very needy. And it's easy to give in to this attitude of just wanting to meet your own needs. Like, I'm in the wilderness. I'm struggling here. I need to get my needs met. Ever heard that before? Yeah. But actually, the best way to get out of the wilderness is to start trying to meet other people's needs. Isn't that interesting? So, that's the first problem. The second problem, the devil shows Jesus all the kingdoms of the world and offers to just hand them over to Jesus if Jesus would just worship him. And the interesting thing is, the devil says, and Jesus does not contradict him, they're mine to give. If you want to know what's wrong in the world, that's like a big part of the problem right there, that the devil is the god of this world. He has the kingdoms of the world in his hands, and he pulls the strings. So, for now, the kingdoms of the world are his to give. But he was offering Jesus, okay, I know you came to take this back, to take away the kingdoms of the world, to restore all the nations and kingdoms of the world to God. So I'll just give you an easy way. Just fall down and worship me and I'll give it to you. But Jesus knew that it was meant to only come through suffering and death. So the devil's offering him an easy way to accomplish his goals. Here's the shortcut. Let me give you a shortcut, Jesus. Let me make this easy. You can pass all that suffering and death stuff. All you got to do is bow your knee to me. And that second temptation then is to gain your goals through compromise. You know, many people have made compromises to reach their goals in life. Huh? The world has its way of doing business, and often it's not God's way. Some compromise by cutting out their family and their spiritual life. Some compromise by giving the boss the affair he or she wants. Some compromise by lying to the customers. Some compromise by putting other people down in order to get ahead. And every time they compromise, they're worshiping the devil with their choices. Yeah. When you make those compromises, you're worshiping the devil. You're doing things his way. What are your goals? Are you struggling with the temptation to compromise your integrity, your character, your family, or your faith in order to reach those goals? Are you getting so frustrated, so concerned about maybe I won't get my goals that you're just tempted to, like, you know, let me find a shortcut? Well, Jesus is saying, don't do that. That's not going to work. And then finally, the devil takes Jesus to the highest point on the walls of the temple and challenges him, if you're the Son of God, jump. Yeah, if you're the Son of God, jump. After all, didn't God promise to lift you up and protect you? Didn't God promise that you wouldn't fall and kill yourself? And it was a pretty long ways down, just FYI. If you go there, you can kind of look. There's a big, steep valley below the temple. So it would be the walls and then the valley that you'd be jumping into. So it would be death-defying. And so that's the temptation, to try to force God to prove himself. See, when we're in the wilderness, we can wonder, like, well, what happened to God? Like, I heard God before, but I'm not hearing him now. What happened to God? And it's a real temptation to try to force God to prove himself. God, you know, it'd be like Jesus saying, you know, like, well, I know he's kind of at the Jordan. I thought I heard him say, you know, like, you're the Son of God, but maybe I'm not. You know, Well, this would be a sure way to find out. And that's what the devil's trying to give him. It's the temptation to put ourselves in a situation where God has to save us, or God has to answer our prayer, or else bad things will happen. It's that desire to try to make God visible when he's choosing to be hidden. But, you know, the thing is, and Jesus makes this clear, to tempt God, to try to force God to prove himself, is forbidden all through the Bible, actually. In all cases, actually with only one interesting exception. There's only one exception in the entire 66 books of the Bible to the prohibition trying to make God prove himself. In the prophet Malachi, God invites us to put him to the test in regard to giving our tithe, which is a tenth of our income, to God, because he says we can test him to see if when we give to God, he won't give back to us. So that's the only exception. But otherwise, no go. You don't get to, like, play that game with God. God says, so what can we find then in the answers that Jesus gives to these temptations that might help us when we're in the wilderness? Okay, so those are the problems. That's what the pull is. And they're temptations that we can experience ourselves when we're in the wilderness. So what do we do? What's the answers? Well, you know, the obvious first thing, you know, every answer is a quote from the Bible. It's God's word that Jesus answers him back. The answers are, of course, are in speaking and choosing to live by all of God's word. Now, interestingly, the third time around, the devil actually tries to misuse God's word. He's figuring out, okay, we're playing the know the Bible game. Well, I know the Bible. And he tries to, like, quote part of the Bible, misuse it. But Jesus corrects him with another scripture. So let's consider the solutions or the answers to each temptation. First, he says, man does not live on bread alone. Now, not in this particular gospel, but in some of the others, he finishes the quotation from the Old Testament, which says, but by every word that comes from God. So if we're in the wilderness and our souls are dry and the heavens are not open and we can't feel God, what should we do? We should meditate on the Word of God. You should feed on the Word of God. The Bible itself is one of the keys to actually growing in the wilderness time. So if you're in the wilderness, that's the time to get back into the Bible and back into studying it. Even if your prayers don't seem to be answered, even if, you know, you're not getting much in the way of, you know, spiritual experiences, you will still grow because it's a key part of passing the test. Now, a lot of people, when they get in the wilderness, they do just the opposite. They get in the wilderness and they're dry and they can't hear God, and then they get angry and they walk away from the Bible and they forget about what they heard from God, and it just gets worse. So that's actually what the devil's trying to get you to do. So why should you help him? Fight back when you're in the dry time by pressing in. Jesus says it will feed your soul when nothing else does. It will feed your soul when nothing else does. So, that's number one. Next, Jesus quotes in regards to the question about our goals, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. So rather than compromise or scheming to try to get out of the wilderness, you should rather worship God in the midst of your emptiness. This is truly the sacrifice of worship, to worship God when you don't feel like it. When you don't feel moved, when your prayers aren't being answered, to worship him then. But if we do, that is a powerful step in expressing trust for God, for our life and for our goals, to worship him regardless of how things work out, no matter what. It shows that we worship him because he's God, not just for what we can get out of him. And you know what else? If we worship God and we give ourselves to serving him, then God has a way of making our other goals work out. You know, in another place, Jesus says, seek first the kingdom, and all these other things will be added. See? So when you're in the wilderness, reassert that response to God, and it's powerful to do so. Finally, in response to the last temptation, Jesus restated the command not to put God to the test. And the band can start making their way back up here. And that tells us this, that we should trust God always to work it out. Faith is the issue. Faith is the issue when you're going through the wilderness. Will you trust God? That's what God's looking for. Can we trust God to work it out when we're in the wilderness? The temptation is to try to do our own solution or to try to force an outcome, to try to threaten God, you know, try to put him in a place where he has to give you what you're looking for. Try to get it to happen. But God wants us to trust him and follow him step by step, not try to put him to the test, not try to force him. What's important here is the faith of obedience rather than fantastic deeds of faith. Okay? So you would have almost thought, like, if Jesus had jumped, that would be a fantastic deed of faith, trusting God. But it was actually more important that he trusted God by obeying God's word. Does that make sense to you? So that's what God's looking for. That's the greater faith. The faith of obedience is actually the greater faith. You don't need to jump off the wall, so to speak. You just need to keep obeying faithfully what God's told you. Just keep doing it. Finally, our last question to ask is this. What in my life is like this? Or what can I learn from this? And we've kind of been using this question as we've been working through each of the parts of this passage. But now consider, are you in the wilderness right now? Consider the temptations that you've faced in this time. Maybe it's a lot the same. Have you thought that there was something wrong about being in a dry time? A lot of times you can feel like, you know, oh, I'm having this bad time. I'm in the wilderness. God's not talking to me. What's wrong with me? Well, now if you think about it, maybe nothing's wrong with you. That the wilderness is part of following Jesus, and the Spirit leads us there for testing and growth. So maybe there's nothing wrong with you. Have you let the darkness of the wilderness cloud what God has clearly spoken into your life? Have you forgotten what you heard in the light? If so, go back and grab on to what you heard from God, that you knew you heard from God, and reassert that. Have you gotten into selfishness or compromise or testing God in response to your wilderness experience? Well, then go back to the Word of God and worship, trusting God to work it all out in his time and in his way. If you can do these things, the wilderness becomes not a place of destruction, but a place of growth in spite of all appearances. You can have victory in the wilderness. You just have to follow the example of Jesus. So let's do that as best we can in the good times and in the bad times. Let's stand and respond to God in song.